Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yellow toe fungus.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, this is a funny quote here from Democrat State Representative Katie Sullivan, who is the House Minority Leader coming up in the Montana legislative session, which is set to kick off on Monday, as state office holders will be sworn in Monday, January 6th here. But she did an interview with a liberal blog called Big Sky Chat House, and she had this to say about the upcoming legislative session. I have a feeling, I'm pretty sure it's going to get weird. I don't think people can resist an opportunity for weirdness. That's the quote from incoming Democrat House Minority Leader Katie Sullivan. I don't think people can resist an opportunity for weirdness. Boy, is that an understatement. But, you know, it was interesting. She's saying on one hand, she's touting the fact that they picked up 10 seats in the legislature as Democrats, but then at the same time is saying, well, people want us to go back to the basics. People want us to talk about pocketbook issues and costs. And yeah, they do. But here's what I find very interesting about this. So we all know the only reason the Democrats picked up 10 seats in the state legislature is because they gerrymandered the legislative districts. Because the left-wing Montana Supreme Court controlled the redistricting process, so they installed Democrat maps that favored the Democrats and pretty much wiped away the rural voice from the legislature in places like Park County and elsewhere to give the university districts, the elites in the university districts, more power and more say in the Capitol. So they gerrymandered all these seats. That's the only reason they picked up seats. But yet they try to spin it like, oh, look, we won all these seats. Well, if you won all these seats, why are you now also admitting that you have to change your message? You have to change your focus. Because if you won the seats fair and square because you had a good message for the people of Montana, you wouldn't need to change your message. You wouldn't need to change your pitch. Anyway, that was just something that stood out to me. Hey, it's Freedom Friday here on Montana Talks. And if you heard my promo, it is Open Lines Friday here on this Friday, January 3rd, our first full hour of open phones here on our statewide show in 2025. We've got Tim and Billings on the phone lines. Tim, if you can, you'll be first up. I'll get to you right after the break because you always have some great comments, and I don't want to have to cut you off mid-stride. So Tim and Billings will be first up. I think he actually wants to talk about something about the Montana legislature. So that's why I figured we'd start with that story because it will lead right into the phone call from Tim and Billings. Here is a story that some of you might see as a good news story. And you might have missed this one over the Christmas and New Year's holidays. Montana growth, not economic growth, not wage growth, not job growth. Those numbers are doing fine. Those numbers are doing great, actually. The number of people moving into Montana slowed down considerably in 2024. So there's fewer people moving into Montana than in previous years. Can I get an amen from anybody out there? Anybody out there in the cheap seats?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got our first caller on the phone lines for Open Lines Friday here. Tim in Billings is on the road. I can't remember if he's going to Butte or where he's going, but just, hey, keep it safe. Watch those turns around Reed Point and Springdale, and you should be good there, Tim. But, hey, thanks for calling in. You wanted to say something about legislative redistricting. Anyway, thanks for the call. What did you want to share?
Morning, Aaron. Morning, everybody. Happy Freedom Friday. Yeah, I think the gerrymandering for the Democrats in this environment is a losing game in the long run. Because yeah, they may have picked up those 10 seats, but eventually, when you have ideas that are so unpopular and so radical, they're going to lose the people who are more centrist in their district, regardless of, you know, how many seats they may have picked up. Those people are going to end up not agreeing with the woke agenda, the radical Marxist ideology that the Democrats can't seem to shake themselves up. They may say they want to go to pocketbook ideas. It is ingrained in their DNA anymore. They cannot and will not change. It's got to be all about the culture, and they can't change it. Eventually, they're going to... It created little echo chambers in this redistricting, and the echo chambers are only going to get smaller and smaller because they can't captivate the attention of every person in that district because their ideas are so unpopular. They're going to end up losing those districts as well.
Yeah. You know, the clearest example of, you know, what you could call maybe the tragedy of the gerrymandered redistricting here in Montana is Marty Malone. He's well-known in the agriculture community out of Paradise Valley, you know, farming, ranching type. He was a Park County commissioner. You know, he not only gets it from an urban standpoint, but he gets the rural standpoint as well. Well, he, you know, barely lost that election after all of the late votes came in. And so basically, yeah, I think you're right that we're okay, yeah, good for you guys. You got a few more seats here in the short term, but eventually the numbers and the demographics are going to catch up to you anyway, because Montana has just grown more conservative, that eventually, you know, even your gerrymandered redistricting, you're still going to lose further down the road. But no, you're exactly right. If they get too many of these university district hardcore leftists in the legislature versus, you know, somebody a little more moderate from maybe a more rural portion of the district that has to try to win over votes, then they're just going to, you know, they won't be able to resist the crazy. They won't be able to resist the word of the Democrat House Minority Leader. They won't be able to resist the weirdness.
Exactly right. They won't be able to resist the temptation to make a spectacle of themselves, because for them it's not about governing. It's about ruling. They want to rule over people and tell them what they have to do rather than giving people the opportunity to make their own way and provide for them equal opportunity of opportunity rather than outcome. And, you know, it's just they cannot change their stripes. The tiger can't change its stripes, and the Democrats can't get away from Marxist-Communist ideology.
Hey, while I got you on the phone, and Tim, if you got to run because you're driving, you know, you let me know if you got to run. But I got a couple other stories that I wanted to bring up. And, hey, why not get your reaction to this here as well? You're one of our great callers here. The Flathead Beacon had this story December 26th. So it was a news story that came out the day after Christmas. So a lot of Montanans may have missed this little gift the day after Christmas. What do they call that, Boxing Day in Canada? Montana's growth rate slowed slightly between 2023 and 2024, according to population estimates released by the U.S. Census Bureau. We still gained just about 6,000 residents between July of 2023 and July of 2024, but that's down from just under 10,000 residents that we gained the year before that. But, you know, of course, you know, when it came to the COVID-19 years, we added something like 20,000 residents in 2021 and then like 17,000 residents in 2022. So what do you think? Is that a Christmas gift? Is that a good news story heading into 2025 that the influx, the in-migration is slowing a little bit?
Aaron, you asked for amen. I'll one-up you. Hallelujah, amen. Thank God.
You're like Hillary Clinton with the hot sauce at a Southern black church all of a sudden, huh?
Exactly right. Maybe some of the people who blew in, some of the tumbleweeds that blew in during COVID are going to start realizing, you know, the Taylor Swift concert's not coming through Montana. The Denver Broncos aren't moving to Montana. You know, the Six Flags is not building a theme park in Montana.
But the polar vortex is coming. Some might think the polar vortex is already here. Oh, this is nothing. This is nothing. You wait till, you know, about February 14th, and then you'll see just how cold it gets out there you know, for your hot Valentine's Day date.
That's right. This is a nice frosty little hors d'oeuvre of what's to come.
Hey, on a serious note, Tim, I want to get your take on, you know, obviously we had the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street in New Orleans early New Year's Day. But then there's also this crazy story out of Las Vegas about the Tesla Cybertruck that blew up in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. I've been to that actual hotel. Something is not adding up. I would say more than just something is not adding up with this story out of Las Vegas. There are a lot of things that are not adding up. Anyway, I'll kind of give my quick take on that. Tim, if you want to stand by on the phone lines, I want to get your take. See if because I think you kind of have some of the similar concerns that I have on this. But hey, if you want to jump in on the conversation, phone lines are open right now. 406-294-0970. Open phone lines on this Freedom Friday, a chance for you to be heard all across Montana. Yeah, just call in. Or if you're busy and you want to just send a quick message, send us a message on the Montana Talks app. All right, it's the first Friday of 2025, the first Friday of the new year. We better do an Open Lines Friday, taking your phone calls from all across Montana and giving you the chance to be heard all across Montana. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Good to be back with you here in this new year. It is going to be a big January. President Trump's inauguration, a new legislative session here in Montana. I'll be at the SHOT Show and more, taking your phone calls, you name it, Montana Talks, statewide 9 to 10.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, he might hit that cell phone dead spot outside of Columbus, but yeah, either way, we'll try to make it quick for Tim and Billings here because we've got another caller on the line we're going to get to right after him. Tim, before I give my take, what's your take on this Las Vegas story about the exploding Cybertruck? It just seems like there's a lot of things that are not adding up with this story. What's your take?
I agree. For one, everything in the vehicle is incinerated except for his ID. Seems really weird to me. The idea that this guy is a soldier. He's a expert in creating mayhem and chaos for his adversaries, and he would have known that if you're going to put the explosive portion of your payload in the back of a pickup, it's going to just go up, and you've essentially created a tube for that mortar to go straight up. The other thing that really seems odd to me is, and I'm not a big aficionado or Vegas file type person. I haven't been to Vegas for decades, and I don't know much about it. You name me how many places in big cities like that you can pull your vehicle right up to the front door. I don't know if it happens. We live in Billings, and I still got to park out in the parking lot to be able to get to the front door of a lot of places.
Yeah, well, I've been to the Trump Hotel in Vegas. We just walked in just to check it out. Say we've been there. My wife bought a Trump Vegas hat. And which was not very popular during the layover in Seattle for some reason on the way back from Cowboy Christmas down during the National Finals Rodeo. It's further off the strip. So it's a little bit more accessible. The things that aren't adding up to me is so now they've confirmed that he's an active duty Green Beret. One of the best of the best. So to Tim's point, if he was actually trying to harm people, then a Cybertruck, these Tesla Cybertrucks would be the worst type of vehicle to use because they're so strong. The body of the vehicle is so strong. But the biggest thing that stood out to me yesterday was I heard the Las Vegas police during their press conference. They say he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound before the explosion. Okay, now, so Tom, let's see, who was it I was chatting with? Jim Hansen, the former Black Five blogger. He's a special operations veteran. And we were chatting back and forth because he said something about this story smells off. This guy just had a new baby. He was a team sergeant, which is the pinnacle in special forces. Something about this seems off. Now, there's one story in the New York Post that says, well, you know, his wife just left him the day after Christmas, so maybe he freaked out and went crazy because of that. Maybe. Like, I'm not going to rule that out. But then on the flip side, there's another report by Nick Sartor where he says that as Libelsberger is driving this Tesla Cybertruck from Colorado Springs, Colorado to Las Vegas, he's texting one of his former girlfriends about how much fun he's having driving this thing and how cool this thing is to drive. He's never driven one of these before. So why would he be so upbeat, and why would he be and why would he have chosen a vehicle that he's never driven before to do? Anyway, it's just there's a lot about this that doesn't make sense. And especially given the technological capabilities of this Cybertruck, I hope they will be investigating the possibility that he could have been targeted and he could have been set up. But there's just a lot of things about this story that don't add up. And there's others that are saying that. There's other special operations veterans like Matt Tardio who has suggested that out there on X as well, saying wait before assuming guilt. And because we know that some of our special operations operators have been targeted and surveilled by extremists on American soil very recently. And we've got wide open borders, so we don't know who the heck is here and what type of chaos they're pulling off. All right, Tim, thanks for the call. Let's go next into the phone lines. We've got Marilyn in Lolo. Marilyn, great to hear from you. Happy New Year. Thanks for the call.
Good morning. So that redistricting, Mark Thain, who he won against Lynn Helligard, which was bad. He was the Missoula County Superintendent of Public Schools for a little while. So he voted against the taxpayers. He voted to allow non-citizens to vote. He voted against free speech. I've got specifics on all this, too, but we don't have a lot of time, I know. Parents' rights. He voted against parents' rights. He voted against kids. He voted against families. He voted against small towns, like against retired doctors from helping. Voted against your local pharmacist from prescribing limited medications. Voted against funding for mental health treatment. Affordable housing. He voted against limiting regulations on septic tanks, allowing duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes. He voted against the Second Amendment, of course, that's a given. Supported government overreach. Voted to allow your bank to track your purchases. Voted to allow governments to mandate you to have solar panels on your home. Prohibit you from using petroleum fuels. Voted against government disclosing taxpayer funds used for lobbying. I mean, there's, like I said, I could go into a lot of specifics on the free speech, the parental rights.
And as a former school administrator in one of the big AAs, he probably was all in support of their crazy mask mandates and their school shutdown policies, too, which set so many of our kids and public schools behind by so many years, if not decades now. Yeah, and yeah, so your point kind of ties in with what Tim and Billings was saying here, which is, okay, yeah, they picked up 10 seats after gerrymandering the legislative redistricting process. But as a result, now they have another very left-wing, you know, Missoula, you know, urban liberal representing, you know, portions of more, you know, rural Missoula County, stripping away their voice out there. And it's in the long run, that won't necessarily help the Montana Democrats.
Right. It's too bad that people don't get more involved in actually choting. I mean, he had a past voting record. He was in the legislature before. And so, he got to run. You know, he comes to your door, and I know him from, I'm on the Lolo Council, and, you know, he comes there, and he's a nice guy, you know, very soft-spoken, looks good, you know, whatever. So
says all the right things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, doesn't talk too much, doesn't expose who he really is, you know, but look at the, you know, people got to get into their voting records and check out who they really are and ask them the hard questions.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I got to ask you, while we got you on the phone lines here, last time I caught, or one of the recent times I caught up with you, I asked you about, you know, is Lolo still looking to basically get out of Missoula County and become a, you know, withdraw from Missoula County and become part of another county here in Montana? Do you think, or do you hope that this is something that might come up again in the Montana legislature?
Well, I'm going to talk with Lynn and some others to see if there's anybody else interested there. She can't obviously carry that this time because she didn't get reelected. But hopefully there's somebody else there that might try and push that. The businesses here in town are sure for it, and I've had some offer to help me, you know, do that. Then you talk to people down in River Valley County, like the commissioners, which I've done, and they're like, well, there's going to be a mountain high, tall stack of paperwork to have to go through to ever get that done. And, you know, so I don't know. We can try, but, you know, you wonder if there's, like, I'm a pro-lifer, and to me, abortion is my thing, and that's where I have put all my, mostly the majority of my efforts, and that's pretty important to me. So, you know, we'll see where my...
Well, what you say about, you know, voting records of some of these folks, and like Thane, who you mentioned, I mean, it's just crazy to me. Like, it doesn't matter how bad taxes got. It didn't matter how bad the parks got. Although, hey, hats off to Missoula City Councilwoman Sandy Vasica. There are people that they've always voted a certain way, and they will continue to always vote a certain way, no matter how bad things get, no matter how bad things got. Can't take your kids to the park? They still voted for the same party. They still voted for the same ideology on the Missoula City Council and the Missoula City Commission. You pay some of the worst property taxes in the state because of your Missoula City Council and the Missoula County Commission, and they keep voting for these people. And if you're part of the 36% that doesn't vote for those people, it's mob rule. It's nope, you're still going to suffer. We're still going to take money out of your pocket and give it to all these other things, whether you like it or not. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Hey, we've got some good news here I need to get to here on our statewide show as well. The Montana Supreme Court, it's kind of like when we see a rare case of journalism. This is a rare case of a good decision coming out of the Montana Supreme Court. The Montana Supreme Court rules in favor of the Black Butte copper mine in lawsuit over water permits. That's a Montana Television Network headline from a report by Jonathan Ambarian. The Montana Supreme Court has upheld a state decision that will allow construction to move forward on a planned underground copper mine outside White Sulphur Springs. Five of the seven justices sided with Tintina, Montana, the operators of the Black Butte Copper Project, and with the Montana DNRC, rejecting a challenge from environmental groups, including Montana Trout Unlimited, the MEIC, Earthworks. You got to say it like it's some fair trade organic coffee brand. Earthworks. You got to whisper a little more. Earthworks. Yeah. One of the radical environmental groups suing to block this mine from getting up and running. And American Rivers, who argued Tintina should have had to get an additional water permit before starting construction. And the Montana Supreme Court actually voted to allow the mine to continue. We've got reaction from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte and much more on that story. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Back after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
A strike on East and Gulf Coast ports seems likely. Shippers want to know if there will be a strike because there's less than a month until the International Longshoremen Association's contract with the U.S. Maritime Alliance is set to expire. It's reported that a major development in the prolonged negotiations occurred when President-elect Donald Trump voiced his support for ILA's stance against automation at ports following a meeting with the union. The situation points in the direction of another strike. One shipping giant is already urging its customers to pick up their laden containers and return their empty ones at the U.S. East and Gulf Coast ports before January 15th to mitigate potential disruptions at the terminals on account of the strike. The U.S. Meat Export Federation says ports and terminal operators are likely to stop accepting refrigerated cargo several days before the strike date, so shippers should make adjustments now. In other news, in addition to the Farm Bill extension through September 30th, the American Relief Act of 2025, recently passed by Congress, contains just under $10 billion in market relief payments for 20 cover crops. This economic assistance is intended to offset part of the economic loss producers are facing following a decline in crop prices and production costs remaining high. Commodities included in the relief payments will include wheat, soybeans, corn, sorghum, rice, barley, and others. I'm Lee Northland.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, if you call right now, we should be able to get to you fairly quickly here on this first Open Lines show of the new year here in 2025. Governor Greg Gianforte releasing the following statement. I was just telling you about this news. The Montana Supreme Court actually ruled in favor of the Black Butte copper mine, not just with this decision that was just released yesterday, but earlier this year, or earlier last year, back in 2024, they also overturned a lower liberal court that ruled on behalf of the environmental groups. In fact, when I pulled up my top 10 list for the top 10 stories based off of your page views for 2024, just for our MontanaTalks.com website alone, the story about the Black Butte copper mine in White Sulphur Springs and the good news for the Black Butte copper mine was the top story based on your page views for 2024. So what that tells me is that there are a lot of Montanans, just like you were very excited about Brixtal Defense opening up their ammo manufacturing facility in Glendive, Montana. Folks are very excited to get these Montana jobs at the Black Butte copper mine up and running near White Sulphur Springs. But yeah, here's what Governor Greg Gianforte said in response to this ruling. He says, today's ruling from the Montana Supreme Court is a significant win for our economy, for our state's mining industry, and for workers at the Black Butte copper mine. This decision ends years of litigation that held back investment and the creation of good-paying jobs for Montanans. I'm grateful to Director Castor with the DNRC, as well as the Department of Environmental Quality, for their work to resolve these issues by reinforcing Montana's position as a leader in critical mineral production. We are paving the way for future investment. Together, we will continue to foster an environment where businesses can thrive, create good-paying jobs, and bring the American dream into greater reach for all Montanans. Let's see. I got an email here from the Disney family in Libby, Montana, talking about the driver of that cyber truck down in Las Vegas. I want to read their email, and then I'll give you my take on it. It's a very good question they pose here. I'd also love to hear your take. What do you think? Do you agree with me and Tim from Billings that there's just a lot of details about this story out of Las Vegas that are not adding up here? So give us a call if you've got a take you want to throw out there, 406-294-0970. One other quick thing here before I get back into the phone lines. I mentioned this story about how the number of people moving into Montana slowed once again in 2024 after the massive in-migration of people during the COVID-19 years. Here's another story that goes along with it. U-Haul, you know, the moving company U-Haul. You can rent U-Haul vans. You can rent U-Haul trailers. Remember when the Babylon Bee had their satirical headline about how California Governor Gavin Newsom was the top U-Haul salesman in the country? That's one of the fulfilled prophecies of the Babylon Bee because, yeah, California, there were so many people trying to get out of California that the U-Haul, like, in fact, I know a guy. He moved his family from Southern California back to Montana, and he said it was so much more expensive to get a U-Haul in Southern California that he, like, flew to Arizona, drove the U-Haul from there to California to get his stuff, and then back here to Montana. Because everybody wanted to get the heck out of California because of their stupid policies, especially during COVID-19. Well, guess what? California is still, let me see here. Wait a minute. Let me see. Are they the worst? Are they the worst? Anyway, California ranks 50th for the fifth year in a row with the largest net loss of one-way U-Haul customers. Yeah, that's right. 5 years in a row, people want to get the HE double hockey sticks out of California. Wow. That's how pathetic California Governor Newsom and his far-left policies are. And then all these lawless mayors and city. Oh, California is just a mess. Wow. Montana, though, we are number 24. So we are middle of the pack now. But, yeah, remember when, man, we were like in the top five at one point, I think, for people, you know, wanting to take a U-Haul too. But now we're middle of the pack. So maybe the market is starting to correct itself a little bit. Maybe that will help with these high housing prices and more that we've been having here as Montanans. All right, let's see. Let's go to Dylan in Lodgegrass. Hey, nice surprise phone call here. Dylan, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Glad to hear you back on.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, I have a situation, I guess, whatever, down here in Bighorn County. I probably should have brought it up before the election as it was happening, but I didn't know some of the other stuff that was going on behind the scenes. In 2022, 2023, Sheriff King was killed in a car accident down here, and his undersheriff took over and was made the interim sheriff, and then they appointed him and everything like that. And then actually that guy ran for sheriff this year and won. However, he is a current resident and primary resident of Yellowstone County and not of Bighorn County. There was a hearing yesterday in Hardin about it, trying to take care of it legally and try to figure that out. But it's not gotten a lot of press just because we don't know a whole lot about it going on. But I just think it needs to get out there that, hey, Bighorn County's got some troubles down here as far as we elected a sheriff that, should not have even been able to run. If you're not 21, you can't buy cigarettes. If you're not a resident of Bighorn County, you can't be running for office in Bighorn County.
Yeah, interesting. Well, and then obviously, you know, there was that big bust in the Lodgegrass area. You know, the DEA and other federal agencies did an incredible job busting that meth trafficking ring down there that was working with the drug cartels. But that doesn't mean that hey, all's good now, right? Like, there's still a need for more law enforcement in your neck of the woods.
Oh, absolutely, there is. It's a never-ending battle down here, and you know, it's about people. You know, people struggle with some addictions, and you know, that's kind of the main deal of it. And if we have an illegal sheriff who, due to some other alleged instances in the past, the FBI doesn't want to work with him because they found him not credible, then he's more of a hindrance than he is a good thing for the county.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, if you see any news stories written up either in the Bighorn County News or elsewhere, definitely keep us posted. Send them my way. Dylan, great to hear from you. It was so great to see you in Lodgegrass last year. That was one of my favorite shows of 2024. And then, of course, we had, if you missed it, on Christmas, we re-aired our conversation with Tuff Harris, talking about all the great new businesses that are popping up there in Lodgegrass as well. All right, great to hear from you. Let's see, who do we got next up on the phone lines here? Let's go to Big Jim. And I know Big Jim spends a lot of time in Bozeman, but sounds like Big Jim is in Illinois right now. Jim, what's your take on it? Sounds like you've got a take on this Las Vegas Cybertruck. What do you think?
Well, I'm in Bozeman right now, and I bought an interesting book down at Bozeman, in Barnes and Noble, called Tribes. And I would recommend that everyone read it. You know, we have, since the beginning of this country, have people who have flipped sides. Even during the Revolutionary War, there were people who were not happy with the Puritan spirit of the colonies, and they went over and they married and they intermingled with the Indians. They found it much more acceptable. I think some of the MIs in Vietnam are people who went over to the other side. We had a very nice American Indian from the Northern Tribes of Montana with us, which we treated with respect. He had no problem with the soldiers, but he was much more comfortable and much more received by the Vietnamese people because he was the same color. He was strong. He was well received by them. He'd been probably more happy staying in there and coming back and living on the reservations.
So is your point kind of then that there you think that there's a chance that there could be another angle here, that you think that maybe this Green Beret was turned to the other side and did want to harm people down in Vegas? It couldn't even be just something as simple as he freaked out after losing his wife or something like that?
Yeah, I think I'm also reading another book called The Killing Generation, and it's about the recon Marines that led the invasion in Iraq, all right? And I think that these people have gone through too many deployments. I mean, you know more than anyone else, and I think after a while, I think all these deployments start to add up, and you're risking
especially for the special operations community. I mean, they are gone repeatedly on deployments and then other types of training missions and then their own personal training to maintain the incredible proficiencies they have. So, yeah, is this a mental health issue? Is there something else going on here? That's what we hope to find out here as the investigation continues. All right, Big Jim, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see. I mentioned I was going to share this email from the Disney family in Libby, Montana. Here's what they write. Scott Adams posits that the driver of the Cybertruck in Las Vegas was actually killed, died elsewhere, and then the trucks self or automatically driven to Trump Tower. Other words, the driver was dead before he got to the Trump Tower. Have you heard any of this? Now, of course, this is pure speculation, but look, given the technology on a Tesla Cybertruck, given the fact that the Las Vegas police just yesterday said that he died from a gunshot wound before the explosion went off, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could have been targeted by a foreign threat or a domestic threat and set up. That's all I'm saying is, like, there's just a lot about this story that does not add up. And I certainly hope investigators are looking at every single angle to this as possible. Yeah, is this, you know, a veteran who has had too high of an op tempo? I mean, and then just lost his wife and then freaked out. But then why is he sending happy text messages while he's driving the Tesla Cybertruck, according to the Gazette down in Colorado Springs, right? There's just too many questions about this whole story. But with the ability, the technological capabilities of these Cybertrucks, it is not out of the realm of possibility that they could have killed him, placed him in the driver's seat of the vehicle, dumped all of his documents and everything in there, set the guy up, blew the thing up. Anyway, thanks for that email from the Disney family. Let's go to, on this topic, let's go to Al in Bozeman. Al, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are there's no way this is not connected. First of all, Fort Bragg is a hotbed of patriots. It always was. When Merle Haggard premiered Fight Inside of Me in 68, he did it at Fort Bragg. This stinks out loud. The whole thing, the guy drives in front of Trump Tower, shoots himself, and then blows the truck up, and he's a Green Beret. I don't see it at all. And second of all, this is just too much. When it had to tie into the Trump Towers, it's like, there's the agenda taking place right there. So I think it stinks out loud. I think it smacks of a very broad conspiracy. I think that we're not being done a service by this clown administration. That's my thought.
Well, I mean, there was some guy that set himself on fire to oppose even the Biden administration's stance on, you know, the Israel-Gaza Strip situation, et cetera, right? And so it's not out of the realm of possibility the guy could have freaked out. But when we first heard the news that a Tesla Cybertruck blew up in front of the Trump Tower, it seems like an obvious political message. But then you hear this guy's uncle say, hey, he was a patriot. He loved Trump. He loved America. So what message would he have been trying to send then? That's why it's just another thing that doesn't add up. Yeah, Al, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. All right, let's see. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to who do we got here? Did we lose Clinton Bozeman? We lost Clinton Bozeman. Okay. Next up, let's go to Chris in Martinsdale. Chris, thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Well, I agree with that guy. My son and I postulated yesterday that somebody probably killed him first, but with all the technology. But anyways, I'm calling about Cameron Moylan, I think was his name, was on your show a day or two ago.
Yeah, Cameron Moylan out of Butte, yeah.
Moylan, yes, the vice president of Butte Historical Society, and they're collecting old school books. And I just had an anecdote to that. I moved a couple of years ago, 34 years of stuff, you know, lots of stuff. And four encyclopedia sets, and I was at the Great Falls Historical Society, and they had these great big books. I happened to get there when the historian was actually there herself that had one, and we were looking over the maps and the history of Great Falls and all the how the changes in the buildings and the roads, and they had all the history written. That was just fascinating. And anyway, so I told her about my four encyclopedia sets that were pretty old, and she tells me, all the libraries have been instructed, we have to destroy those. We have an annual book sale every year, and we can't even sell those. We can't. I said, oh, you could sell them at the books. Hmm. Nope, we can't. We have to destroy all old encyclopedia sets.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like, why do they have to destroy them? Why can't they donate it somewhere? I would love to go back to the Encyclopedia Britannicas from the 1980s, you know, and just look at those. And yeah.
And it was awful, and it's destroying history. I told her that. You're destroying history. If you're such an historian, look at all this stuff, you know, if you really are dedicated. And she wouldn't answer. It was real weird.
Huh. And then of course, we see what can sometimes end up in the current history books of today, where they replace the real history with the woke anti-American historical rewrite. So that's why it makes you wonder if some of this destruction of these classic books or encyclopedias is deliberate. No, very interesting, Chris. Thanks for the call. All right, we are just about out of time. Grandpa Lou in Billings, you get about the final 45 seconds here. What do you want to share?
Hey, happy Friday there, my friend. And I just want to remind everybody on Red Friday, it's Remember Everyone Deployed. And I want to shout out a thanks to all that served and sacrificed. And I want a special shout-out to our new senator-elect, Tim Sheehy, and Congressman Troy Downing. And I just want to say thank you for your service and your sacrifice. And God bless America, and God bless Montana.
All right. Well said, Grandpa Lou. Thanks for your service. Yeah, two more veterans sworn in to the Montana Congressional Delegation. Tim Sheehy should be sworn in as U.S. Senator here in about 90 seconds, about in the next couple of minutes, and then after the speaker vote, down.